In 1988, Bela formed the Flecktones for a single performance on PBS's Lonesome Pine special and began touring together in 1989. Banjoist Bela Fleck, pianist Howard Levy, percussionist Future Man, and bassist Victor Wooten defied categorization with elements from classical to jazz to bluegrass to African music, blues, and Eastern European folk. They are Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. 30 years later, the original lineup continues to celebrate what founder Bela Fleck calls one of the great musical and personal relationships of their lives, with an anniversary tour that includes a performance at Cincinnati's Taft Theater on June 30th. Good evening for Around Cincinnati. I'm Elaine Deal. On the other end of the phone is the man himself, Bela Anton Leos Fleck. Congratulations on 30 years. Does it feel that long?
You know, it's been a long time, but I don't know if it feels like 30 years. We've had some breaks, you know. We've had some years off where we didn't play together. And we've also been so busy doing so many things. I mean, life is just flying by. That's the truth.
Now, this tour is just a couple of weeks underway. How's it going?
Marvelous. It is just such a joy to be together. I have to say, like, we get together these days, usually every year for a few weeks to do some shows and be together and be the friends that we are and the musicians that we are as a group. And I'd say this is a defining group in all of our lives, both musically and personally, that we'll always have a lot of warm feelings for and thankfulness for. So when we get back together, a lot of times we start exploring the old material and looking through the records for things we haven't done yet in the last few years. And this year we did that, and we found some, I guess we could call them gems. And you go, wow, I don't remember ever doing that. And it's kind of like prospecting. But the truth is, you're an easy target for liking it because at some point we played it a lot and it's imprinted in us. So I don't expect everyone to be struck the same way by it. But for all of us, it's a very important piece of who we are.
Was there any particular criteria for choosing what pieces to play and which ones to kind of leave on the shelf?
Well, it's funny. I'm always looking for a way to make it easy for everybody. So if it's going to be a big project, I usually pick them carefully. But this time, the other guys came in with some requests of ideas and songs they thought we ought to do that were going to be time-consuming. And we had very little rehearsal time. So actually, Howard came in with a suggestion that we do a piece that we had done on, I think, the second album back in 91 called Flight of the Cosmic Hippo. And the piece was called Jekyll and Hyde and Ted and Alice. And this thing is just so complicated, but it's very earthy, too. I mean, there's something very warm about it, at least from our perspective. It starts out in 7/8, and it spends a lot of time in 9, and then it's in 4 for a while, and then there's a counterpoint where the banjo plays two parts of a counterpoint, and Victor plays the second part of the counterpoint, but staggered in a round, and Howard picks up one note out of the banjo every 8 notes and plays that one note, and Future Man's doing whatever the heck he does. And then we suddenly turn on a dime and go into a whole other thing. And it goes on for 6 or 7 minutes of this. And none of us remembered this tune. So it took a lot of work to get it back. And as we've been out touring this last few weeks, it's come back. And now it feels like we never stopped playing it back then. But that's a fun thing to discover in your back catalog.
Is everybody in the band classically trained or formally trained, perhaps?
I wouldn't say any of us are classically trained. Howard plays harmonica. You know, there is no real classical training for that. Victor plays electric bass. There's no real training for that. Future Man plays his own drum invention that he made himself and jazz drums and, you know, all kinds of drums. And I don't know that he would say he learned it any way but from listening to other people. And then I play banjo and there's no real classical training for that. Now, that doesn't mean we don't all interact with the classical world in our musical lives. And we all love doing that. I think we like the idea of interacting with all the possible worlds that we can find. And it would bother all of us that we couldn't find a way to play with all the great classical musicians that are in the world. So many of us, really all 4 of us, have found ways to do that by writing concertos or pieces for classical musicians that we can play with them. So Howard has harmonica concertos and pieces he's written. Victor is working on his second bass concerto. I've got 3 banjo concertos, and Future Man's been writing his own classical music for years. And just a piece of what we all do.
We're chatting today on WVXU, Cincinnati's NPR affiliate. Our sister station is actually a 24/7 classical station, and we do play your classical concertos. So,
thank you.
Oh yeah, they're wonderful. This is a big crossover interview we're doing here.
Well, I tend to be pretty crossed over in my life.
You started the tour with what you called the Friends and Family Show. Your remarkable wife, Abigail Washburn, Jerry Douglas. Will they be playing with you on any more of the dates?
No, the rest of the tour is just Flecktones with the Flecktone. Now, there'll be dates with Abigail in the summer. I'll be doing shows with her. And then I have other things coming as the summer winds down with Zakir Hussain and Edgar Meyer and a great Indian flute player named Rakesh Chaurasia. We'll be doing that in September. and then onward into more concerto work. But I'm trying to keep with my family as much as possible, so I'm keeping these trips short when I'm going away. I'm trying to keep them as short as possible, a couple of weeks at the most, and then with good chunks off, so we have that time. We have a one-year-old now.
Aww.
And so, yeah, I don't want to miss that. They both go with us.
And where is home?
This year, home is Nashville, so we're not far away. Yeah, this year with the second child, Abby's quite comfortable doing a bit less, so I'm doing a few more things, and I'm trying to find the right balance to keep my playing alive, because I have to play a certain amount to be as good as I want to be and have the fingers work right and the brain work right. It'd be kind of like an athlete showing up for a major competition and not warming up and not playing. You can't do it. You've got to be playing a lot to play with the kind of people I get to play with. I mean, I just came off a tour with Chick Corea, who's, you know, one of the great jazz pianists of all time. So I'm in these hot water situations, and yet at the same time, I'm trying to keep some kind of balance of family. So it's tricky, but so far, so good.
How many banjos do you take out on the road with you?
It depends who I'm playing with. With the Flectones, I've been taking out three, and that's a one electric banjo, one acoustic banjo, and one banjo for alternate tunings. Sometimes we'll play a tune called Big Country, which is in a different tuning from the other banjos. Or sometimes we'll do something else, and I'll have a banjo there for that. Because when you retune a banjo, it takes 5 or 10 minutes for it to settle in. So you can't change the tuning right before you do the song. You have to have a banjo that's set up for it. So that's it. Now, when I'm out with Abigail, we probably have 8 or 9 banjos out with us. There's a lot of flying involved and so forth. Like if I'm playing with Chick Corea or Kieran Zakir, I try to carry 1 or 2 at the most, usually 2.
Did you start on banjo? Was that your first instrument?
I started on guitar. I loved the banjo long before I played guitar, and I always loved it more, but I never thought I could play the banjo. I never thought anybody could actually play the banjo.
Are your children musical?
They are. I wouldn't say they're musicians yet, but they have clear musical tendencies, and I think they're intelligent musical minds. That doesn't mean they'll be musicians, but they've been around music from the very beginning, and so they have some wherewithal.
Well, and they certainly have good genes.
Yeah, I guess so. That can be a part of it. I think it's much more about what you're around. There's no music really in my family, so if I'm supposed to have musical genes, where do they come from? It's just luck. But I think it's more just about commitment and obsession and being willing to do what's required and starting young enough for your brain and your hands to do what you want. Like if you were going to be a gymnast or a concert pianist or violinist or ballet dancer, you'd have to start pretty young just for your body to be able to do the basic stuff it needs to do. And so luckily I was playing guitar before I got to my first banjo. I didn't get my first banjo until I was 15, but I was already building some of the things I needed to build at the younger ages by playing some guitar. So when I started the banjo at 15, it wasn't really like starting. I've been doing some of the training already. It's putting my hand on a fretboard and playing in time and learning about scales and all the different things.
Do you run scales every day?
Do I?
Yeah.
No, I don't really do that anymore as much. I do practice for whatever's coming up, whatever I'm the most scared of. So for instance, if I'm going to be playing a concerto with a symphony, and that's really about all I'm going to do except playing the encore in the night, there's no real need for me to practice scales. What I need to practice is memory, practice the piece I'm going to play, and maybe, you know, play it at multiple speeds, too fast, too slow, and make sure it's all committed to memory, then I'm not going to screw it up. But if I'm going to play with Chick Corea, then I need to practice improvising, and I don't want to play scales when I improvise. I want to play musical ideas. So I practice playing through the chord changes, trying different musical ideas and running them through all the chord changes as best as I can do, and giving myself options so that when it's time to improvise, I have a lot of different pathways that I know that go through those chord changes through the music. You know, I think if you practice scales a lot, then when you improvise, you're going to play a lot of scales. But I've learned to practice patterns that I like and musical motifs that I like and try to learn them all over the neck so that I can continue the idea and build it and expand it spontaneously rather than practicing things that I don't actually want to play, like chromatic scales or, you know, straight simple scales. But there are ways to play around with scales, and you get all the physical dexterity that you get from playing scales while still playing something you wouldn't mind hearing yourself play in a solo.
Are you performing with an opening act?
No, we like to play. We like to play. We do 2 1-hour plus sets, sometimes a bit more. And we make up a set list. I mean, I have a pretty good idea of what we're playing, but I've still been changing it up more this year than in previous years. The last few years, we really just learned enough to get through the night, the old material, and then maybe as the tour went on, we'd add 1 or 2. But this time, we've got a lot more tunes to choose from, so I'm starting to alternate the sets from night to night. Keeps us fresher, and we get to play these different old tunes.
And the tour continues throughout the summer?
No, just through July 3rd, and then we're going to do some more touring in November.
Any plans to record?
Not at the moment. Again, everybody has so many different things they're doing, and it used to be that we would only get together to do the Flectones when we were going to do new music and we were going to go out and tour it for a year and really get intense. And that was becoming such a prison because we could never find that whole year to do it. And it meant we had to write the pieces and create a whole new idea for the band and record it and then wait 6 months and then go out and tour for a year. And nobody could really quite commit to that. But I discovered that if I asked the guys, do you have 2 weeks open in June? You want to go do Telluride and some dates? People were very quick to say, yeah. And we didn't actually have to reinvent the wheel every single time. So it's a step back from the super idealism that the band always had for the first 20 years or so. But it's made it possible for us to play a lot more. And we find that the audience isn't really expecting us to reinvent the wheel. In fact, they'd be quite happy to hear us play something they've heard us do before. We just don't want to ever be anything but very idealistic. And the band is supposed to be about progression and expansion, and it still needs to be that. There's absolutely nothing in the world like this band. And the more years that we all are musicians, the more we realize how lucky we are to be in it and have this be part of our musical world.
I can't thank you enough for opening your mind and your heart, explaining your practice sessions and your musical theories, Bela Fleck. Thank you, and good health out there on the road.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. We're looking forward to it. We love the tap. It's going to be fun.
Bela Fleck says that the original Flecktones were resolute that their reunion would not be rooted in nostalgia. The goal was to drive the music forward to places where it might have progressed had things gone differently. He didn't just want to get together to play the old music, because that isn't what the Flecktones are all about. Each member is full of life, ideas, and creativity, and intrigued by what they could do that they had not yet done. The results will unfold live on stage at the Taft Theater on Sunday, June 30th, 8 o'clock show. I've been chatting with Bela Fleck. For a link to his music, visit our website, wvxu.org. For WVXU, I'm Elaine Deal.